You are now listening to Out of the Blank.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Blank Podcast. I'm here with Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Chris, if you were going to describe yourself in one word, how would you do it?
That's a hard question because nerd, I guess, because I'm just always looking for nerdy things. In the comic books, movies, everything nerdy.
First of all, the whole shift on comic books being nerdy is not the thing anymore. Now everyone's a comic fan. I ran into a girl in a store. I mean, gorgeous. I was like, Oh my God, this could be the love of my life. And she's wearing a Dragon Ball Z t-shirt. And I was like, what? And then I walked up and I was like, that's Kami House. And she goes, huh? I got this at Hot Topic. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, my dreams were all crushed.
Right? Yeah. Like, yeah, because Hot Topic now has everything, right? So you are anything, they have it. Like, they have from My Chemical Romance stuff to Spider-Man stuff. It's insane.
It doesn't just stop there. You walk even farther. I went in there with my grandma when I was like 15, and I was like, wow, look at all these cool shirt designs. They have some pretty good shirt designs. Like, they had the Simpsons, but they were all melted into the couch. So they were like, their clothes were like on the couch, but they were all like a puddle. And then as we're like looking back past the walls, you start getting into the giant dildos and then the whips and the chains. And my grandma's like, Robbie, you're not supposed to wander that far. I'm like, I can't stop. What's past the beaded curtain with the man with the beard?
It's like Spencer's novelties here. The same thing, just all fun stuff. And all of a sudden out of nowhere, just sex toys. And it's like, oh, I'm in the wrong section all of a sudden.
I'll never forget when I walked into this one sex shop when I was 18 years old. I was like, you know what? Red light district. You have to be 18 to enter. I'm 18. Finally, I'm going to go into this one. I ran into my fourth grade teacher getting a giant dildo. And I was like, I didn't want to know that about the man that used to love Garfield when I was in his class.
Yeah, that's a big stretch. Double entendre there.
You can say he really hates Mondays, yes.
My girlfriend actually, my other co-host, Trina, she works at a sex store. So she knows all about the sex stuff, like dildos and stuff like that. So sometimes in our show, she'll bring up certain things. Like one time we talked about cock cages. I don't know if you know what that is.
I don't really think I want to know more, but I do.
It's a really fucked up thing that I'm not trying to kink shame anybody, but it's fucked up. Basically, you put your penis in this cage thing so you can't get hard. It prevents you from getting hard, basically.
And this is a family show.
Whoops, sorry.
Look, I've had an ex that liked collars, and then she was like, let me try it on you one time. And I was like, okay, we'll do it once. As soon as it got put around my neck, I was like, No, I'm not into this. I'm so vanilla. Can it just be the normal act? I don't want food. I have OCD in everything in life. I just can't have food in the bedroom. That's a terrible idea. If there's a mess, I'll stop and I'll have to clean it up.
Yeah, I get that. Not everyone's kinks are for everybody. Like I was saying, it wasn't kink shaming. Just, I don't think that's right for me.
Do you think that there's like a conspiracy when it comes to the aspect of like, why is it that Spencer's and Hot Topic are still around, but Chuck E. Cheese isn't?
Well, I think that's because the comes down to Chuck E. Cheese is about health, I think.
I was
the health reasons, maybe.
The concept of like, what do they sell? When I say Hot Topic or when I say Spencer's or any of those like weird gothic clothing stores, what do you immediately think is the audience that goes there?
Oh, like teenagers. Teenies, like 13-year-olds.
How would you describe their mental health, if is what I'm saying?
Oh. In this day and age, not good. There's so much in the media that's constantly barraging them with, you know, you gotta look this way, or you gotta have this, you gotta do this kind of shit, you know? So I don't think their mentality is going very good into those places. And having a Chuck E. Cheese, again, I don't think anyone over 13 or 14 were going to Chuck E. Cheese's, really. I never been to a Chuck E. Cheese.
What?
Wish I could have went. Yeah.
You've never had a childhood. Those are amazing places. Oh my God. You get unlimited skee ball. Sometimes you get the Chuck E. Cheese. You get the Chuck E. Cheese little gold coin they give you as the mouse's face. A rat gives you pizza and you're okay with that. It's amazing.
See, that's something I would have loved to try. And like, I wish I could have.
It did become a shithole towards the end of its life, though.
That's what I mean. I think like it was a health violation stuff that made them go, oh man, this isn't good.
Well, some person found out that they were using other people's pizza, like Domino's, Papa John's and all that, and they were selling it as their pizza. Like they would get a full cheese pizza and they would look and like half of the pizza was different slice shapes than the other half and it looked like a different crust. So it's like if you had a half and half pizza and they're like,
yeah.
We're not talking about toppings. I mean, the actual, it looked like a Domino's pizza mixed in with a Papa John's pizza where it's like the really thin glass crust with the giant thick crust. You're like, what the fuck is this? And you start to realize like they would clean up the tables and they would take parts of the leftover pizza instead of throwing it out and they would morph it into one pizza, put it under a heat lamp and then give it back to you. Like, oh, we got pizza. But she ate it anyway because
what else are you going to do?
Yeah. Like, I am not making excuses, but I mean, come on, you're hungry at this point. You're getting shitty pizza. You're expecting something.
Yeah, you're paying for those games, man. That's where the money's at.
It's like Dave and Buster's. It was supposed to bring families together, and then they realized everyone just fucked off the whole meal.
Yeah, I've never been there either. I wish I could go to these places.
You don't really need to, though.
No, but they have a place in London here. I forget what it's called. The Rec Room. And it's basically like a giant arcade area with a restaurant and everything like that. No mouses, though. No giant mouses. Drop the ball there.
I don't see how that was a good marketing pitch. You could have picked anything like a fluffy panda bear or a fluffy teddy bear or something like that. But you're like, oh, let's get a rat that serves people pizza and also comes up behind you when you're trying to enjoy family time. That's what I don't like about these establishments. They're fun. But if you're really trying to like get to like on a first date, it's like taking someone on a first date to the movies. Why? Mm-hmm. Then you don't understand. And the first date's supposed to be understanding who this person is to see if it's going to continue. You're on your second date and you're already supposed to know what their middle name is. You're supposed to know what their birth date is. Hell, know their damn horoscope. But you don't because you decided I'm going to go see The Purge on my first date. And then you're like, oh, my God, does she love murder as much as me? You look over and she's like, oh, my God, I'm with a psychopath.
Yeah, I've made that mistake a couple times taking girls to the movies for a first date. And whew. Yeah, they never call back because you don't get to know anything about them.
I've gotten laid on the first date, but that's about it.
Well, that's because they were probably just looking to get laid.
That's what. See, saying that, people will be like, how dare you? It's like, no, sometimes what? It's the same thing for both guys and girls. One person, sometimes you just want to get it out. And then next thing you know, you never want to talk to the person again. Sorry.
Exactly. Yeah, it's human nature. We all have needs. We all have wants. And sometimes we just end up going, you know, either to whatever we do. I'm a little weird. I don't know. Basically, like, I had a little toke before this because that's what I do. It's what my podcast is about.
That's how I found you. That's how I knew you. After Eric introduced us, right. I kept seeing someone retweet videos of a dude just doing bong rip after bong rip after bong rip. I'm like, God damn, if I did that, I can't get high. I've gotten, my high school was all about like wake up in the morning, getting ready for school. My brother would come in and be like, hey, what are you doing? Well, I'm getting ready for school. No, you're not. We're going to get high. Then I'd end up watching Step Brothers over and over and over and over and over again. If you want a good recommendation, watch Step Brothers, the DVD, but watch the commentary with it because they're commentating off of the movie. But then after the first 5 minutes, they're not even fucking Shaquille O'Neal walks in. He goes, is that Shaquille O'Neal? Dude puts down his headset and goes and grabs Shaquille O'Neal. And all you hear is Shaquille O'Neal while he's playing the drum set. All you hear is Shaquille O'Neal go, yeah, when I was playing basketball, I got this game coming up. And it's like, what the fuck's happening? I'm stoned out of my mind on my couch. Just like, what is going on right now? They're talking about Talladega Nights and I'm watching Step Brothers.
Damn. Yeah. I have to watch that then. I've only seen Step Brothers a couple times. I wasn't a fan the first time I seen it, to be honest. I don't know why. I just didn't think it was that funny. Then I saw it stoned. I wasn't stoned. I think that was the problem.
It's good. The second time I did see it stoned. It depends. Sometimes people like to watch a movie. Like I watched Avengers Endgame on my phone. I was like, I don't really need to see it again. And people are like, you didn't get the experience. And I'm like, yeah, I watched Fast 9 in the theaters. I fucking hate that franchise, but it was good because I was in the theaters.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't seen any of them since past seven, I think.
That's whatever already seven too many.
Yeah, exactly. I think I did that only because I was really bored. There's nothing else on.
It's, I mean, look, at some point you got to be like, all right, everybody's talking about it. I got to try it. It's kind of like when they're like, watermelon and mustard. I don't know if that tastes good. I never wanted to try that.
What the fuck? Who the told you that?
The biggest trend on social media was people putting mustard on watermelon, and then they were eating it, and it's like, it's so good. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I've eaten some weird shit, but that, no. I put salt on watermelon once. That makes it taste good. Okay. Yeah. It brings up the flavor.
I use cereal as croutons for my salad, so.
What kind of cereal?
Depends. I like to change it up. Sometimes I got salmonella from Honey Smacks, so I try and stay away from that when I can.
Wow. That's a different.
This was in 2018. They were like, yeah, salmonella and Honey Smacks. I'm like, what the hell are you growing this in? Is this grown? I thought this was yeah, made in a lab.
That sounds like a really hard feat to get salmonella in cereal. Like,
really, that's how the pandemic started, by Honey Smacks.
Yeah.
Diggum was slowly holding out.
Yeah, it's always been a frog, see? It's the frog, not bats.
Oh, you got to be careful with some of these conspiracies, because you say some of the times I create one and then I'm like, fuck, I can actually believe in that.
Yep. There's times I've done that. It's like, oh, wait, I better just stop before I sound crazier than the crazies.
Would you say that the weed helps you like kind of get to those ideas?
Yeah. Most of the time.
What's your best one?
Well, I listen to a lot of weird, crazy cult conspiracy people and stuff like that, right? And we do have a weird church going on in Canada here. During this whole pandemic thing, they were just fucking going nuts, saying shit, you know, like, this isn't real and God wouldn't do this and all this stuff, right? And I started going, like, maybe this guy's holding a cult. Because right now, with all this conspiracies, with all this misinformation, and no one knows what the fuck they're doing and what we're doing and what's going to happen next, it's the perfect time for cults to spring up. Like during the 70s and 60s, that was the time when a lot of cults like the Manson family and all those things popped up, because we were lost, like during the Vietnam War and shit like that. Like no one knew what to do next. Like we were all like, fuck the government and all this, right? So then there was all these cults are like, well, we know what to do next. Come with us, join us. We'll tell you where to go. Believe in us. God loves you and all this shit. So that's what I'm thinking, is this guy might be becoming the next Manson family, or the next fucking whatever that Church of God people were.
Did you actually look into the Manson thing, though?
Oh, a little bit.
The government was drugging Charles Manson. There's like a guy named Tom O'Neill. He was on a Joe Rogan podcast, spent 15 years of his life writing a book about it and getting the records and accounts of all these government files that ended up being leaked over 15 years. It took them to compile this book that they're going to turn into a Netflix series.
Right.
Operation Midnight Climax was the government would drug these Johns. And when we say John, you know, John Doe, but they would and actually find Johns, like people named John, and drug them. So many stories of people, like, I remember sipping a drink and the next thing I know, I was blacking out. I woke up in a park. Next thing I know, I woke up while I was missing a shoe. Next thing I know, I woke up and there's blood all over me. But Charles Manson would get arrested for the killings or doing whatever, convincing people. And then they would release him not even an hour later. Some random spring up company decided to go pay him money to survey land in Mexico. Hmm. What? That's like asking fucking Mr. Rogers to fucking smoke, teach you about crack. He doesn't know anything about crack. He just knows it's bad for you.
That's true. I haven't heard of that one. But I do know, like, the CIA did the whole, I forget what the fucking thing was called, where they were drugging random people with LSD. They actually, like, got girls to go pick up guys. And then
Operation Midnight Climax.
The hotel. Maybe, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And they would drug them with LSD and then, you know, see if that was, like, mind control. It was, like, mind-controlling drugs. They were thinking it was using as mind control. And I remember reading about that and learning about that. And I think... what's his name? The Unabomber. I forget his real name. Ted Kaczynski or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, he was part of this thing that happened in college where he was put on LSD as a kind of like a experiment. And that really fucked with his brain. And it really fucked with him so much that that's what made him become the Unabomber, they think. It's because he was a regular good guy. He had great grades, I mean, and everything was going great. And then all of a sudden he did this test with LSD and then fell down the fucking rabbit hole of craziness.
Well, they somehow preyed on the factor of fear, but also preyed on the factor of how, like, they maybe, like, the reason why people give Alex Jones a lot of shit, even though he's got a lot of stuff right, is because once you start researching into one conspiracy and you find out it's true, then you start looking at plot holes of everything, and it creates schizophrenia with the amount of information that had. Like, right now, we're entering a world of schizophrenia. People don't know what to believe in. You say one thing that can't be true. There was a 17-year-old kid that was catfished online by the government. And the government was sending a message saying, where are this terrorist organization? We, you know, if you want to like help your country in a way, you need to destroy the government. And then they sent him a list of things to get for bomb supplies to bomb this place. And he goes, okay, let me ask my mom first. He goes and picks up the supplies, and the government arrests him for terrorism. And it's like, you created the terrorist, though. You picked a person that was malleable and being able to be controlled, and you convinced them to pick up these supplies. You knowing you catfished them. Then there was a recent video of after the Capitol Hill thing. There was just recently, like, I was on ABC, like, I think it was like 2-3 weeks ago. There was a dude in a Trump hat, and he was saying, we need to go back into the Capitol again. We need to do all this. And everyone just goes, Fed, because they're trying to create and see who is going to start up these giant problems. It's trying to avoid this thing happening by trying to start it to see who's the people that would go into it and then crush it right in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're saying. Like, you know, like, it's hard to trust the government when you know that there's already been programs in place where they've already fucked with the civilians. And so it's like, yeah, there's always going to be this weird thing of like, some of the government is fucking horrible because of the shit they've done. Like, there's evidence. You can see it. And then there's other parts of the government where it's like, okay, we need that kind of thing. So it's like a very fucking hard line to line. Like, I don't lean either way, really. I'm trying to stay in the middle for most of everything. Yeah. And, like these conspiracy theories and stuff like that. What problem is that no one really understands critical thinking anymore. Yeah. And it's like everyone just kind of goes, oh, the first thing they see, oh, that's true, I'm going to believe it. They don't go, okay, I'm going to research this a little bit more. I'm going to look into this. I'm going to look into the person who's doing this. Like, what's his gain on this? Is it a person that's going to be part of the problem or part of the solution? You know what I mean? Like, because everyone has their own kind of motives and gains on everything they do. So.
Well, there's reality, and then it goes a little bit too to the extreme where you kind of got to, like, when I talk to conspiracy people, I'll be like talking about something, and then they'll be like, yeah, this is what this happened. I'm like, yep, that's what happened. And then they go, and then the world's all run by devils. And you're like, all right, that's where we got to cut you off. You can't go that far. Why do you always go to the crazy end of the extreme? Is because they don't know what to believe in. So recently, my episode number is coming up to 9/11. So I'm doing a special for 9/11. And we've all heard the truthers is what they're called, is the people that want to know the truth behind 9/11. People say it was a cover up. People say it was a bomb. The one thing I don't know about is I don't think it was a bomb. I don't think it was a controlled explosion. But doing all the research, there's a lot of shit where it's like, this is where people have mistrust issues. There's a 9/11 commission report. The White House Bush administration tried to make sure that thing never got started to look into the 9/11 thing. Eventually, they said, we got to make it because a lot of people lost their lives. We need to make it for the families to be able to understand in detail what happened. They started looking into it. Then they asked for $60,000 to continue their investigation. Bush denied that as well. They ended up getting the $60,000. Then all they did was ask for an extra 60 days. And they fucking said no to that, but it ended up going through. They tried their best to crush it out. And what I think it is I don't think it's a cover up or a controlled explosion. I think they had warnings of this attack happening, and they've been getting warnings since 1993. So it was like, it's been like a 10-year process. So it's like, you kind of like, you weren't taking it at face value. You start to realize that, like, oh, we had more control in it with selling and training the people that bombed us.
Yeah. I feel like that's pretty much where I feel the same way. It wasn't they're trying to cover up, like, they did it themselves. It's that they're trying to cover up, like, oh, we fucked up.
Yeah.
We saw this coming, but we didn't do shit about it, you know, kind of thing.
I'm trying to find, because someone brought this up to me they go, did you look at the exercise that was happening on the day that it happened? And I talk about this in the episode, but it's called Operation Vigilant Guardian. So the semi-annual NORAD exercise that had been running in conjunction with the Global Guardian for several days and which postulated a bomber attack from former Soviet Union. Vigilant Guardian is a command post exercise, meaning it is conducted in offices and computers, but without actual planes in the air. The exercise involves all NORAD command levels out of a range of scenarios being run on September 11, 2001. One was a traditional simulated hijacking. According to General Ebhart, after the first attack, it took about 30 seconds to make adjustments to the real-world situation. Because of the increased number of traffic, the exercise would prove to be an enabler of rapid military response for NORAD. So on the day that they had this fucking, they had a simulation on September 11th about a training exercise, about a plane going into the going into one of the towers. And then also going into the Pentagon. And then it actually happened and they canceled it. Where I'm like, that's a big fucking coincidence. Like, that's a really, and I'm not saying it's staged. I'm just saying they already had known that there was going to be, like, you have to set up a simulation. You have to code it. You have to set it up for that specific program. And then you can't just have it just randomly give you a randomized one. It's that. So you knew that this had been going on for a while, that there was a threat about this and you didn't stop it.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it seems like they knew and they were trying to prevent it. Like, they're trying to get things in place for it, but it was too late. You know, they're like, oh shit, this is, we got to get something done. We got to do something about this. And then the next day, bam, it happens kind of thing.
And this is the hard part about talking about something like this, is because even though their lives are lost, or people go, you're a conspiracy nut, you're a conspiracy nut. And they label you like that. And it's like, you know, it's someone mentioned this to me recently. It's actually on a podcast too, with Shane McGillis. He goes, whenever, like, when you talk about racism to white people, they say like cracker or something. It doesn't really mean shit to anybody. Like, it's like whatever. But they found a word, which is calling someone a racist. When you call someone a racist, that's what gets people upset, because you're admitting, or you're telling them and you're calling them something that means the worst possible thing of being a person that would discriminate based on color. And that is like, it's a fucking label. Whenever you see someone call somebody online a racist, it's like, what the fuck? Like, that's a very, everyone gets serious about that, because it's a serious act.
Yeah, it's an outdated act, you know, like. Like, I don't think racism just evolves around any general skin color, because everyone's racist, every gender, every, you know, what do you call it? Ethnicity. Race, person, ethnicity is racist to some degree. You find it anywhere, whether it's blacks don't really like white people don't like black people, don't like Chinese people, black people don't like, you know, it's just, it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate thing, but it's like, seems to be human nature, unfortunately, because we don't like things that aren't the same, you know what I mean? Like, we don't like difference, we don't like new things scare us, that kind of bullshit. But I think if once we get past that kind of thing, we realize that we're all just, like how one of my favorite comedians says, Dan Cummins, we're all just meat sacks.
Yeah,
we're all the same, you know, we're all just trying to live this life, trying to get through it and whatnot. It's kind of like my belief in life is like sorry, do what you want to do as long as it's like good, you know, like believe what you want to believe, do what you want to do, as long as you're not hurting anybody, be good to yourself, be good to others. We're all living this chaos world. We don't need to make any more chaos for anybody else. As long as we just try to fight for ourselves and each other, we can make through this chaosness without having to put anybody else down.
In a world where we're already so divided, why would we spend even more time trying to divide up even more?
Exactly.
Even basis on like trying to relate on our similarities, we actually notice that we'll get a lot farther if we relate on our differences. The fact that we have differences to talk about them is actually going to expand the conversation and expand the knowledge and process of information even more. But it's all in news too, man. The way that they put stuff in articles, everything is so like, this person's saying this, and the next thing you know, they're saying something else. And it's like, now you're refuting the thing you said originally. It's like, well, I'm just trying to piss people off. And you're like, fuck you, Tucker Carlson. Like the Tucker Carlson thing.
Yeah,
Mike,
yeah.
I have a thought. Didn't he go out online saying the NSA was reading a lot of his personal messages and shit? And then not even like 2 days after he went on thing calling out the NSA for spying on his messages and lying and putting up the report and phone call and everything. Then now there's all this stuff about how everyone, like the whole media has turned against Tucker Carlson. I'm like, is it because he fucking called out some shit? Like, it's really weird to see people just suddenly start getting attacked after they point out this major thing. Like, anybody else noticing this shit? And they're like, oh, my God, he found it out. Kill him.
I don't really follow much news because of the whole fear-mongering bullshit, like you were just saying. Because every line is fear this, or this is the new thing you have to fear, or this is happening, fear, right? So I kind of avoid a lot of headline topics and stuff. Sorry, loud noise.
Was that a Subaru?
Sounded like one, didn't it? I live right on the fucking main street, so it's unfortunate.
I just had a plane fly over a minute ago. I don't know if the mic picked it up, though.
I didn't hear it. But I was going to say, because like, normally we do our recordings late at night. But anyways, as I was saying, I don't follow a lot of the new stuff because a lot of it's just fear-mongering. I'll look on Twitter and see, like, you know, I'll dive into something if it's interesting. If it catches my eye, I'm like, okay, I want to learn about that. And I'll dive into it and I'll see who's talking about it and what's going on exactly.
I'm usually like, I click on like trending on Twitter, but like people, like, I don't have a political side. I actually probably like people say I'm libertarian, but I'm like, I don't think I define myself in anything because I look at all perspectives of everything. I'm open-minded as shit. I can understand cults and I can understand ex-cult people. I've talked to them all. I've talked to everyone from every single different side, flat earthers to, you know, people that believe that the earth is round. Flat earthers make a little bit of sense too, because what they're basing it off of is, I saw there's a really good show I think you would really enjoy called Middle Ground. Mm-hmm. And it's like they take two sides. They get like, so they had NASA scientists and then they had flat earthers and they had them talking back and forth and agreeing and talking about certain things. Flat earthers go, well, you've lied to us before. NASA has been known to CGI clouds when they got the first pictures of Earth, like a full pano view. They CGI'd clouds to make it look more appealing to the audiences because it didn't look as good. Like when you take a picture of the moon with your phone, and that's what they're basing it off of, is if you lied to us once, you're not leaving the room open for everything you say afterwards to be true, which I'm like, I get it, but I don't see the flat earth thing. I can fucking see the, I can feel it move. God damn it. I can feel it rotate. When I get high enough, I can feel it rotate.
That and like, you know, yeah, sure. The pictures might lie, but the science doesn't. That's where we're getting that. It's like, sorry, guys, your science doesn't work. Our science is kind of more believable that the world is round, not just some like, because I know some of them believe that there's like a giant ice wall around the world that NASA like maintains and has like guards on it everywhere around. It's like, do you understand how much money that would cost to have guards around the whole entire world guarding this giant fucking ice wall? Like, think about it. Do we have enough money to fucking do anything like that?
I couldn't even get unemployment for a couple of months after during the pandemic. How the fuck are we doing that? It's crazy because I don't know if, like, did you hear about when Bill Gates, Bezos, before he went into space, and then was it Zuckerberg, all met at the global summit in that mountain to talk about climate change? I was like, that's the Illuminati right there. They're all, what's the best way to have an Illuminati style meeting where all three of the giant, biggest power, money hungry forces actually get to meet together? Is by saying, we're going to a climate change rally. Bullshit. You guys walk in the back, you hit the wall three times, it opens up a side panel, you walk in there, there's a meeting room with black desks, and you're like, all right, let's sit down and we only got 5 minutes to talk about how we're going to keep controlling the world and the way that we're going to process information and censorship. You're like, oh my God.
That would be interesting.
I like going to the deep ends of this shit. I don't give a shit anymore.
Right? It's fun. It's fun. It's fun times.
It's fun when you can make it fun, but when you take it so serious to the point where there are people like having like Always Sunny in Philadelphia with the red pin cushions up everywhere and he's got the whole thing targeted. When you get that crazy, and you're like looking at people, like I had posted up a video on my Twitter. I don't know if you saw, but so it's a like news people and they will be talking like how I'm talking to you, but they'll blink. And then their eyes, when they blink, they're fake eyes. It'll pop up like CGI eyes because they'll CGI the bags out from under your eyes. And sometimes the filter messes up and gives you fake eyes. And I'm like, this is why there's people that think there's fucking reptiles in our news, because you're doing this crazy shit. One person that's on the brink of schizophrenia goes, I'm going to finally watch the news. It's been 40 years. And they click onto it and they see the eye thing. They go, I'm going back in the bunker, and they fucking run downstairs.
I literally had a friend of ours that, well, a person we know, and
Eric,
they were, no, I don't think so, maybe, no, but it's not him, someone else we know. They were really getting really weird in the beginning of this pandemic, where they were like believing replicas, you know, like synths from Fallout 4.
Hang on a second, when you say that we know, do you mean me and you, or do you mean?
No. Okay. Me and my group.
I was trying to figure it out. I was like, who the fuck is believing in synths?
No, but they were thinking like like Tom Hanks was replaced by a robot Tom Hanks, or a replica Tom Hanks.
He never got off that island.
Yeah, and he's like a complete different, not the Tom Hanks we know and all this stuff. And that, like, who else was it? Jimmy Fallon was also a replica. And I'm just like, oh my God, why? And then they showed us this video of Tom Hanks giving a speech about an award he got, where he's standing in his kitchen. But you can tell the kitchen is green screened because he's not wherever he says he is. He's probably on vacation somewhere, but they want to make it look like he's at home or something, right? So it was just interesting because he's like, look at his neck. It looks fake. It looks like a fat fake. And it's like, well, no, it just looks like he's on a green screen. And behind him is just the, you know, like a picture. And he's moving, so it looks weird.
But see, this is where the whole point of conspiracies come. Like when Obama, during his time in office and everything, or no, it was on his podcast that he was doing like a CGI green screen where it looked like he was in the same room as the person he was talking to when they weren't. It was all green screen and CGI, but it was so like best money can buy.
Of course.
In it. And now people find that out and they go, well, he's lied to us about this. What else is he lying about? And I'm go, it's the same thing with Biden, where they had like his arm in front of that microphone when the microphone was closer to the camera and people realized it's just a green screen of him talking to people. And it's like, yeah, I feel so bad for that man. He's about to, like, I saw President Kamala trending on Twitter and I was like, did he die? Like, did he die?
Yeah. Did it happen already? Shit. I had my money on June.
There was like, I think 1,000 something people that were like, I clicked on this because I thought it happened already. I was like, oh, damn. A lot of people are just waiting for him to croak. That's fucking horrible. Imagine that going through your head. People are just waiting for me to croak. I'm going to say the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Well, I think like it's waiting for him to croak. Or see if he does step down because they feel like he is too old. And then
what gave that away?
Like I said, I don't read all the headlines, but I do see them.
He said,
old president.
He was talking about the vaccine. He goes, there's still a large percentage of people that haven't gotten the vaccine. And he meant to say like the Latinos community, like the Latinos.
Latinx or Latino. Yeah.
But he said Latinx because he thought he was being PC because that's the proper way to say it. And he didn't want to get in trouble. So he goes, especially amongst the Latinx community. And they're like, what? And then he goes, guys, the vaccine is not like the Tuskegee Airmen. They go, do you mean the syphilis experiments?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm like, all right. Like, this is why people don't have faith in our government, is because you have this fucking shit show going on.
Yeah, it's like, you know, he wasn't prepared for that question, apparently.
And Trump wasn't great either with the voiceover. There's a whole entire thing where they voice over the speeches. It's like bad lip syncing. And it's like when he starts talking, he goes, I just farted. And it's just the way he moves his mouth. And it sounds like he said, I just farted. I'm like, God, like, people are awesome. But fuck, man, we're really tearing each other apart here.
Especially with like the deep fakes and stuff like that out there, and how crazy those get.
Yeah.
I saw the one with Jordan Peele where he did Obama. There was more like a PSA to say, don't believe everything you see. Some are deep fakes. So it's interesting to see that. But I think Alec Baldwin, he does the fucking impression of Trump. If they would take him and then deep fake his voice to the Trump thing, it'd be perfect.
It's a weird world when people like the impression version of you better than the actual version. I was like, at that point, what do you do with your life? Like, that's fucking horrible.
Yeah. Are you that bad of a person where you no longer liked you? All your voice is like when someone else is doing it?
Well, it's like when we look at like politics, for instance, we look at like how many people are those the actual people, or have they been replaced by a clone? And it's like, what goes, how I want to know those people's processes where I'm like, how do you think we have the technology to clone?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like we did a sheep back in 90, what, 7 that didn't survive longer than 3 months.
But like, we also, we talk about like things Alex Jones got right, they also were able to put like grow human organs in a monkey. That was on NPR. They published that.
Yeah, they're trying all these weird things, right? Growing human organs, making a 3D printer for human organs. I hear that's the thing they're trying to do.
I watched a 4-hour documentary about a guy who got another person's arms. He got his arms and legs blown off in the war, and then he got put on the arms transplant list, and a guy apparently had like a stroke or something, and they attached arms to his arms, and their biggest thing was like, we don't know if you're going to be able to move your fingers. It's a rare chance if it does happen, but it's just there for show. It looks aesthetic. You know, you can move your arm, you'll get some function. They attached every single nerve individually to be able to do so. And suddenly now he can move like 3 of his fingers so he can type and stuff like that. But now he's getting lesions on his skin because his body is trying to reject the foreign part of his arm. It's not natural to his genetic code. So it's like trying to reject. And he goes, one day, maybe 10, 15 years or a year or 2 years, my arms are just going to, I'm going to lose them again because they're going to reject them. I'm like, I would have never thought that we could do that already. Fuck me.
Right? It's crazy, the medical science that we're getting nowadays. That's why it's unbelievable that people don't believe a lot of the doctors right now, because like, sure, I get it, back then when, you know, it was all like, here, bite on this fucking piece of wood as I saw your arm off. It was crazy fucking doctor shit. But now we're learning that, you know, okay, well, we don't need to saw someone's arm off for this or that, or, you know, we can amputate an arm and then replace the arm with a new arm, or, you know, like you were saying. But it also reminds me of a weird horror story I think I've read or want to make, where basically a guy gets arm transplants from a murderer. And then the arms take over his body and he starts killing people, but he doesn't know what he's doing in his sleep and shit. I'm pretty sure there's been a movie about this.
That's Idle Hands.
Basically, Idle Hands is like the devil takes over the guy's hand, right? And that makes that Seth guy Green. And he chops it off. Yeah.
Seth Green's that in that movie. Yeah. That's a great ass movie, man.
David Soya.
what do you call it? You start to look at it like, I think the biggest issue when it comes to these conspiracy theories and how they're still going around is like there's riddles of truth, obviously. Like, I could tell you a bunch of different things. You could be like, that's not a thing. Operation 119 was the government tried to blow up the moon to prove how strong we were with nukes. But then some person was like, let's not do that because it's going to fuck up space travel. But when you really like examine the censorship issue, banning certain things from being said, there's a good rationale behind it. But when you talk about like, you couldn't talk about the lab and everyone considers the lab a conspiracy, I'm like, look, there's something going on there. Why are they not letting us look into it again? I'm just saying, come on, dude. Like, you got to be like, they're fucking studying some shit.
Well, they would have to, right? Because, like, that's how we get vaccines. They study certain things, right? So I don't fully go, it wasn't in the lab, but I also go, maybe. That's a fucking possibility.
Just leave the door open is all I'm asking.
Yeah.
Let me fucking take a look in there real quick. And if I don't, why are you not letting us go back? That's what scares me. It's like when we have censorship thing, like there's a drug, a guy named Dr. Pierre Corey, who studies the usage of ivermectin on COVID-19. He got his whole entire YouTube page taken down for medical disinformation because he started talking about a drug that was cheaper than ivermectin and a more effective way of handling COVID. But the government can't profit off of it, which is why they're not using it. So it's a money thing. And it's like now they're working with, like, you know, they talk with Zuckerberg or talk whoever owns YouTube and tell them, hey, ban these certain things, ban his channel, because we don't want people knowing there's a cheaper, more effective way of getting a vaccine.
Now, was everything done to prove that this drug was safe, though, too?
Well, the whole reason that they were going to not, like, it's effective is just as, actually even better than ivermectin is to be able to treat COVID-19, but they didn't go with it because they can't profit off of it. The amount it takes to make it, they would have to charge an arm and a leg to even make a profit off of, when they could just use the cheaper, more non-effective method, which is why it takes two shots instead of just taking one.
True. Well, maybe they just don't have the money for it.
It's just a
how
fucking
much in debt they are.
The world of money, man, where we've sucked on the tit of China for so long, where it's like now we're trying to be more sustainable and self-sustaining, but we're literally by the balls. Did you see John Cena apologize to fucking China about calling Taiwan a country?
No.
They own Hollywood. During Fast 9, he said Taiwan is going to be the first country to have to be able to see Fast 9. China put a block on Fast 9 and called out, like, because they own Hollywood.
Yeah.
And he goes, he had to make a public apology to the people of China because China doesn't recognize Taiwan as a country. So he just apologized for saying, I was tired. I'm sorry I called Taiwan a country. But it was in perfect Mandarin, where I'm like, Jesus Christ, where are we going? What's happening? Am I taking crack pills?
Well, John Cena's a well-traveled fucking wrestler, right? So you'd think he would know some fucking languages.
I know, but it's especially so strange to see this jack dude just speaking, apologizing for just saying Taiwan's a country. It's not like he killed a whole family while he was drinking and driving. He just called Taiwan a country.
No, but, you know, in this day and age, you piss off the wrong people, all of a sudden there's a fucking virus.
I fucking hope somebody assassinates me. I hope it happens. I will talk so much shit until a Scientologist or CCP comes to my fucking door.
Scientologists, yeah, I see them fucking send Tom Cruise after you. Like Mission Impossible.
That might scare the shit out of me if you send Mr. Mission Impossible after me.
Just shows up at your door smiling a fucking creepy fucking smile.
No, he's got one tooth in the middle of his face. Where his nose is, the line, it messes up. It's like when they built AI robots, there's a thing called the uncanny valley where you have to make everything like symmetrical or it's going to fuck up. Like it's going to make it too human. You have to follow the rules of the uncanny valley. Tom Cruise has a tooth in the middle of his face where I'm like, sir, what the fuck happened to you? Is that fake? I don't know.
Maybe. Fucking he has the money. We don't like Tom Cruise here.
What's wrong with Tom Cruise? You don't like his movies?
No, the movies are fine. Like I said to Trina, my girlfriend, who's my co-host, she fucking hates him because of some of the things he said and Scientology's bullshit. But I don't mind his movies. Some of his movies are good. His acting is a little over the top in some other movies. I like the first Mission Impossible movie, and the second one's good too.
When you said Scientology, you said, oh, his Scientology bullshit. All I was thinking, like, what do you mean? You're telling me there's not a UFO that puts eggs in a volcano? If you read that on fucking paper, like, it's like, come on now. Like, there's so much shit. If you read our conversation right now on paper, they'd be like, these two people are on crack. Like, there's no way.
Yeah. Well, when you look at some of their scripture there from L. Ron Hubbard, you would think they were on crack, or at least he was.
That's what pisses me off is that they can prey on people that are probably pushed to the point that they have to believe in something like this because they feel like there's nothing in their life to believe in.
It's a cult. Yeah, it's basically what cults do.
We need a cult with morals.
A cult of fucking something better than what we have.
What's probably the worst thing when you talk about theories or you talk about cults, what's the worst one in your mind, the one you just can't get down with? Don't say Scientology.
I can't get down with that one, but I don't want to get too anti-political or anything here, but Christianity is really something that I find, not saying it's a full-time cult or anything like that. You can believe in that, it's fine. You believe in God, that's good for you. I hope you believe something. Find something to believe in life. That's my motto. But the people that take it way too fucking serious, you know, kill you for fucking.
I punched my mic. I was trying to cross myself.
Yeah, like you know, the people that like think gay people are sinning and that they're the devils and all that stuff that can't get down with like you know same sex marriage and stuff like that. It's like let people live, man. Like thought Jesus was forgiving and like you know letting people do them. Not this fucking, oh, you're going to burn in hell and stuff like that. It's like, I can't get behind this hell bullshit because there's all these different cultures that have a version of hell and they all end up looking like the same thing. So I wonder if it's a real place and it's just like the same fucking thing or some places have it differently even. So it must be not a real place, just a place that people think about to make you not do bad things.
I piss off my algorithm guy. Because I follow like cult people, the next cult people, but I also follow like every side. I try and stay like not, I don't have a dog in any fight, political, religion, any of that. But one side of me thinks that imagine if this is just stage one and when you die, there's an even better life where it's like, fuck, I had to wait 90 years to get to this. It's like I would have died way sooner. But then I also think maybe you're just, there's nothing afterwards. Maybe that's just it. It's just you're out of existence. Because to think that there's a place in heaven where after a while you can choose to be reincarnated, how bad do you hate your fucking family, your friends, everything to want to restart your life with no memory of the past?
Right. That's what I was thinking. It's also, I have another theory about that is life isn't like there is no hell or heaven. Life is hell, basically. And we have to make it through it and be good and do everything like that. And like make it through this fucking portion of our life. And when you die, you don't die, you evolve. And you go to the next plane. And then that's a better plane for you. That's a less harder plane. That's a easier plane to get through. And once you make it through that plane, then you have that choice of restarting, you know, pressing restart in the game or end it and just becoming nothing.
I would love to get to another universe or a heaven or something where gas isn't three fucking dollars. Jeez, man, what kind of hell is this? California's on fire. No shit, we're in hell.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, man. This is fucking hell. Look at all the wars, the famine, the bullshit, the fucking pandemic.
over a goddamn gender reveal too. It's on fire again. It's like, just
again,
fucking write it on a sticky note and throw it in a fucking hat.
Yeah, like, why do people have to get so fucking extra with this fucking
it's like the time and effort it takes to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do if it's non-binary? Do you have like a gray color that comes out? Like, the fuck is this?
Does that happen right away though? That happens like later.
Actually, on your birth certificate now, apparently there's a spot where you can circle for non-binary.
Hmm. Interesting.
Which is like, can I have a birth certificate where there's no name on it? So my kid has no name until he decides what his name's going to be.
Yeah. I'm gonna say, what, do we leave that thing blank until they decide then?
He'll be blank. That'll be his. He'll be the son of my show.
Exactly. There you go. Name it after your show. All they mind first child, always.
Always. There you go. Yeah. Always.
That's an interesting name.
What would you, if you had to choose a name for a kid, even there, would you mess with the middle name, or would you like, I would make the first and last name legit, but then the middle name I would have a fun fucking field day with.
Well, we have decided on one. I think was Diedrich Joseph, or was it Joseph? Yeah, I think it's Joseph Moore, which is my last name. And Diedrich is the name we really like. And I think Joseph is like my girlfriend's father's real name, or first name, middle name, maybe. So we're going to use that as our names.
His initials are DM.
Yep.
He's a goddamn dungeon master.
Well, that's like my dad's initials. My dad's Dwayne, so DM. I'll have to call him that next time. Dungeon master.
Dungeon.
See you.
Wait, I would name my kid weird. Beowulf. Okay. You're not fucking with a kid named Beowulf.
You can call him Bay for short.
Would you rather have your kid have extremely good looks, or would you rather have your kid have an amazing voice to whenever you hear it, it sounds like there are some people you listen to on a show where their voice is fucking soothing as shit.
Right. That's an interesting question, actually. I've never even thought of that as a question before.
But he'd be ugly as hell if he has a good voice.
Well, look at some of those great singers out there. Fucking beautiful voices. Not the most great looking faces.
Freddie Mercury.
What's his fucking name? Fucking Mick Jagger. Maybe when he was younger, he looked pretty, but now, fuck.
Alice Cooper, you can't even tell. Like, holy shit, what are you?
Yeah. Looking, who is it? Axl Rose. Have you seen Axl Rose?
See, that's the crazy thing is, like, if we go back to Freddie Mercury, he was supposed to be one of the people that has been theorized as having the perfect pitch, which is being able to hit, like, having the perfect pitch of, like, being able to hit any frequency or range. And it's, like, very, very rare. It's, like, 0.0001% of the population has that ability to have a perfect pitch.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great to have, yeah.
Would you just rather have a good talking voice? I had a past guest. His name's G. When he talks, his voice sounds like a movie trailer. Like, now listening to Out of the Blank podcast. I'm like, holy shit, is that real? He goes, yeah. And I'm like, where are you from, G? He goes, I'm from Regina. I swear to you, he's from Regina in Canada.
Yeah. I heard a guy once, he had a really deep voice, but he's a real small guy. But he had, I guess, he just survived throat cancer or something. And it kind of messed with his voice, but he had like a really deep voice after. And so like he would talk and you wouldn't expect, like, I don't want to be racist on him, but he would sound like a black man. Like, he would talk and be like, holy, what? Like, talk again for a second? You little white guy talking like that? Like, damn.
You mean he didn't sound like this?
No, that's what I mean. Like, it was interesting.
That scares the shit out of me when that happens. I'm like, oh my God. You can't get water in that thing. You can't go swimming ever again. It's like, I don't ever want to go swimming, but now that you've taken that ability away from me, I want to do it even more now.
Yep, exactly. So you keep you away from something, now you want to do it.
I think that's a talent of being an asshole when you start thinking that way. Like, when someone says don't touch it, I'm like, fuck, and I just go over and just magically put my hand on it.
It's like, do not touch this button. With this button, beep.
I'm sorry, I was already touching it when you were saying it.
Yeah, basically, my finger's already on it, man. Come on. You can't let me just feel the button. I gotta push it.
It's like when they used to have lobster tanks in grocery stores, and then they took them out because they just hate people.
because I hate people.
That's all I wanted to do when I was a kid. Whenever my mom would say, we're going to the grocery store, I'm like, lobsters in the tanks, aquarium time. And I would just get like, that would be the funnest part of the trip. And so now I got to walk through the goddamn grocery store and not have any entertainment.
Just get the frozen ones.
Some person's like, you're standing 6 feet. You're not standing 6 feet. I'm like, shut the fuck up. I'm reaching the diapers, you asshole.
Yeah, I haven't dealt with that much lately. Because I go shopping for our family here. And like, I haven't dealt with many people being all dicks about it or anything like that. I was walking one aisle one time and the lady had to turn around. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm going the wrong way. It's like, I don't care. I'll just back up and go ahead.
I think maybe Netflix or all these streaming services like Amazon paid a bunch of people to just be assholes in stores about 6 feet policy. So then you would end up just going like, fuck it. I'm not dealing with people. I'm going to shop online. I was in Food Lion. A dude was standing in the middle of the sliding doors to enter Food Lion on his phone. And I was trying to like, I can't walk around him. He's dead in the center. So I'm like trying to like move around him. And he just goes, looks over at me and goes, 6 feet, motherfucker. I said, 6 feet, motherfucker. Get the fuck out of the way, motherfucker. And he goes, what? And I'm like, what? And then he just looked at me and then got in his truck and drove off. I'm like, I'll beat your old ass. I don't give a shit.
Nice. Yeah, like I said, I haven't dealt much with that. Thank God.
I don't like people with power acting like they can just be a fucking asshole to everyone. Because at that point, I want to throat chop you.
Yeah, and that was a total power move. Standing in front of the doors like that, power move.
That's a power move. Nobody can get through. I am the guard of this entrance and exit. Yeah. You are now stuck in my whim.
Literal gatekeeper.
That is gatekeeping at its finest. That is 100% it. Yeah. It's like people who own fish. Fish are nice to look at. They're exotic. But also, it's like you're a god. At any moment, you could just rip them out of their life.
Yeah.
Was my show everything you hoped for and more?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, actually. This is my first time doing something like this because we've only started podcasting maybe about 5 months now, since March. Roughly 5 months? I don't know.
And has it been an experience and a half?
Podcasting or the show?
Podcasting. Fuck my show.
Podcasting's been a great experience, actually. Like I said, like we talked about Shaken Not Scared, we started messaging, talking to them, so we got to meet new people, like get to know cool people like them. Eric and his wife, who one day we would like to do this, like same thing with them kind of thing, because like we think they're great. Also just the community itself, like we met you, like you're awesome doing this with us and stuff like this.
I've got them all fooled. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. I've learned some new podcasts that I've never got to know before, because I've always been the mainstream kind of podcast listener. Stuff like Kevin Smith and sometimes Joe Rogan. He kind of pisses me off sometimes. So I kind of stop listening to him sometimes. Dan Cummins with his Time Suck and
Bad Friends.
Pardon?
Bad Friends.
I don't know what that one is.
It's Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino.
Oh, no, I haven't seen, never heard that one.
Oh,
no.
Dude, it's funny as shit.
I've heard his other one. I think he did. It was his wife. I forget what the one that was called.
Whiskey Ginger? Or yes. You mean Tiger Belly?
Tiger Belly, that's the one, yeah. I listened to a couple of those ones because he's fucked up too, that guy.
Dude, he did meth so much for the long. He was on Bad Friends. They're making a Borderlands movie. Shit. Who's playing Roland is Kevin Hart, and Bobby Lee was in the Borderlands movie. He was like a quick scene. He was one of the raiders. But he talked about, like, mm-hmm. if you look up the Borderlands cast for the movie, there's a lot of people playing, like very famous, like Margot Robbie's in it. A bunch of people are fucking in. It's gonna look like a. I hope they do it right.
I hope it's good, because like I didn't get into the first one. The second one I kind of dabbled into, but the third one I really got into. I really like the third one, Borderlands 3. So it would be kind of interesting to see what they do with the first movie. Get to the third one, hopefully.
They're going to have, I think they were talking about Jack Black as Claptrap.
Yep, I heard about that. That makes sense, because he's great. You know, everything he does, I fucking love. Except for Orange County. I didn't like that one.
Tenacious D?
Oh, I love Tenacious D. That's like on repeat around here sometimes.
To be the best.
Me and my buddy Ryan and my other co-host, we bring it up all the time. We'll fucking talk about certain scenes, or he'll send me snaps because we snap each other all the time with Tolk's video, because we can't hang out as much anymore because pandemic bullshit, right? But we do hang out for the one time during the week to do our fucking, because he also works. He's a full-time manager at a job. So we get together on snaps most of the time. But now since everything's calmed down, we, you know, we get together most every day, every weekend for podcasting and stuff like that, and we're all vaccinated and stuff like that. So
well, where can people find your podcast, Chris?
Well, you can find us on Twitter at Always More Pod. We always post there. And then Always Room for More Podcast is our name of our podcast. We're on all the podcast apps. So wherever you want to find us, wherever you listen to podcasts, basically.
Is there anything you want to let the people know out there before we end it?
Come give us a listen. We like to smoke weed and talk random fucking conversations like this one here today. We have, like, basically this is what we do. But we get high during the whole thing, which... I was a little bit. If you haven't noticed, I have my little vape pen here.
I just have vape juice in mine.
Oh, so I thought you were smoking something.
I can't do weed, man. Every time I get too high, I think about taking a nail clipper and sticking it on my tooth and then clipping it.
That's okay. Yeah,
I think I'm high. That, you know, the green out effect where you get too high and you get like. I think whenever I smoke weed, my face gets like pale, flush, and then I look like I just got hit in the stomach, like knocked the wind out of me, and I look massively sick. So I'm like, okay. I think I'm just that 1% that just can't handle it. I can handle everything else. I could probably handle crack, but I can't handle fucking weed for shit.
Well, let's not find out. But yeah, like I said, you don't have to smoke weed with us. You can drink. You can do whatever you want. But we smoke weed. That's what we do. Just come give us a listen.
Well, I make sure to link it all in the description. And thanks for listening to this episode of Out of the Blank Podcast.